Okay, we are going to come back into session. Want to thank everyone for their patience while we took a little bit of a break, and we're going to excuse Molly Sween from the rest of the meeting. She had another engagement that she had to get to. So we'll come back into order and resume our disciplinary cases.
Thank you. So the next one is Christian Connolly. He is with American Fort PD, 5 years of service. Offense was lying under Garrity, dishonest in violation of department policy, falsification of a government record, a Class B misdemeanor. There are no mitigating circumstances. The aggravating circumstances are multiple offenses. Category ADE guideline is revocation. Guideline range is 3 years to revocation. Post is recommending revocation. He resigned. His date of separation is November 2nd of 2022, and this was at a hearing. Christian Connolly, a post-certified peace officer, was not truthful during a Garrity interview done by his agency. Connolly stated he had gone to a court hearing when he had not. The prosecutor's legal assistant instructed him at 10:30 he was not needed at the hearing that was scheduled at 1:30. Connolly also made untruthful statements about why he entered overtime for attending court on his time card when he had not attended the court hearing. AFPD found Connolly to be in violation of its agency policy of engaging in dishonest or deceptive conduct based upon his contradictory statements regarding why he did not have the correct OCV vest, stating he had attended court when he had not, and false entries on his time card for court attendance that did not occur. Are there any questions?
Mr. Connolly or his legal representative like to address the council? Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Christian Connolly.
Go ahead, statement. Mr. Connolly.
Okay. Leonardo da Vinci once taught, "All our knowledge is the offspring of our perception." I understand and I accept da Vinci's insight. I know it to be true. Experiences in my life have taught me this principle to be true. It is because of my belief in this principle I wish to make a statement today regarding the perceptions that have been presented against me. In so doing, I believe that we can see things as they really are, so that knowledge, in its truest sense, can be realized. To illustrate why I believe what I believe, I share this experience. While working as a police officer at American Fork, on May 17th, 2021, I pulled over Sarah Cummings for driving on expired registration. During this routine traffic stop, I noted additional infractions, including driving without a driver's license. I went back to my car and wrote Miss Cummings a citation. While I was writing the ticket, Sarah called her husband and asked him to bring her license to her. While issuing the ticket to Miss Cummings, I explained to her that it wasn't necessary for her husband to bring down the license because I had access to that information within our database. As such, she would only receive a warning for the infraction. I gave her the ticket, and she went on her way. Immediately following this incident, less than half a mile, when I was nearly struck by an oncoming vehicle that failed to stop at a posted stop sign. Acting quickly, I pulled over the vehicle and found the driver to be none other than Josh Knight, the spouse of Sarah Cummings. Josh was bringing down the driver's license to his wife. Because of the recklessness of his actions, I cited Mr. Knight for failing to yield the right-of-way. Shortly after these two extraordinary events, a letter addressed to Mayor Brad Frost, Chief Darren Falslift, City Councilman Kevin Barnes, and Lieutenant Josh Christensen was received. It was a letter from Angie Cummings, Sarah's mother, accusing me of unprofessional behavior. Lieutenant Josh Christensen's response to Angie was short and simple. "Mr. Connolly was wearing a body cam. You're welcome to watch it." Miss Cummings did watch the video, and soon thereafter wrote another letter to the aforementioned people. I now quote from her letter. I owe you a huge apology. I was very much in the wrong. I'm sorry for accusing you of behaving in a way that was unfit of an American Fork police officer. I'm sorry that I accused you of being uncaring and callous in your interactions with my daughter and her husband. I note that you actually interacted in a friendly manner. You spoke kindly and patiently with Sarah and John and explained each of the traffic violations that they had committed. My impression of AFPD has certainly changed through these experiences, and I want you to know that I was left in a positive impression on me. Thank you for your hard work in protecting the citizens of our great community, and again, I apologize for thinking ill of you. I hope you can accept my apology. Mrs. Cummings' knowledge changed when she was able to see that her perception was wrong. Just as with Ms. Cummings, this investigation has given perceptions that need to be challenged. During this investigation, it was stated by Austin Lunt that I had lied to him regarding the purchase of an outer carrier from Curtis or Skaggs. Because the perception was I was a liar, later Stuart Ford administered a Garrity interview to me regarding the outer carrier. The perception that I was a liar.
Under codes, the findings of the ALJ are final, and he's arguing the facts from the hearing. His defense at the hearing. The judge found three of the five to be sustained, and so we just need to move forward on either some mitigation he would like to present or talking about what level of discipline is going to be imposed by post-counsel. But the facts of his intent are not relevant at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Connolly. We do have an ALJ finding of fact and conclusions of law in this case, and it's really your opportunity at this meeting to talk about aggravating or mitigating circumstances that we may not be aware of, rather than the facts of the case, since that has been adjudicated through the ALJ process. So if you'd limit your comments just to that.
Okay. Later, during a second Garrity interview, as identified in the investigation, Cameron Spall states that I was lying about requested time off by Austin Lunt. Approximately 1 hour and 16 minutes into the interview, I was able to show text messages from my department-provided phone prior to surrender of my
Connolly,
resignation.
I understand you have a prepared message there that you are anxious to read. But again, it sounds like you are trying to dispute the facts of the case, which have already been established through the hearing. And so we will not allow you to continue to establish facts or to introduce new facts into the case. It's only appropriate for you to discuss mitigating circumstances or make a plea to the council regarding the discipline that's before the council.
Okay. Through this entire thing, I've requested that an investigation of my department phone be done. Evidence was found on it that cleared me of other charges that I accused me of. But AF refused to do it. Post refused to do it. A check of that department phone will have enough information on there, combined with the facts that I've already laid out for both American Fork and Post investigators, to clear me. I did not do what they said, and an actual investigation of that would clear me. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Counsel, did you wish to address the body?
No, thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Connolly or our host counsel?
Just clarification. So it looks like of the five counts brought up against Mr. Connolly, two of them were found that he did not commit or violate.
They didn't find that he didn't commit. They just found we didn't prove it. Yeah.
So he's really facing the three.
Any other questions?
So
we will entertain a motion then if there are no other points of discussion.
I move that we accept Post recommendation of revocation.
Selena Stevens has a motion to accept Post recommended sanction. We have a second. Second by David Peterson. Any discussions about the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Thank you. That motion passes.
The next discipline case is Cassandra Earle. The agency is UDC. Years of service is 19 years. Offense is DUI Class B misdemeanor, reckless driving Class B misdemeanor, and open container Class C misdemeanor. There are no mitigating circumstances. The aggravating circumstances are multiple offenses and a high BAC. These are category D, E, and F offenses. The baseline is 1 year. The range is 3 months to 2.5 years. Post is recommending 2 years. Agency action is that she was moved to non-sworn on July 29th of 2024. There's no date of separation, and this was a waiver. After a citizen reported a reckless driver, an officer stopped a vehicle matching the citizen's report. The officer found Cassandra Earle behind the vehicle's steering wheel with the keys. The officer also found an open alcoholic beverage container in the vehicle. Earle lost her balance during the field sobriety tests, and the officer stopped the tests for safety reasons. The officer obtained a warrant to draw Earle's blood, and the test results showed Earle's BAC to be 0.22. The officer charged Earle with DUI, reckless driving, and having an open container. Earle pleaded guilty to the DUI charge, and the court dismissed the other charges. Earle declined to participate in a post-Garrity interview. Are there any questions?
Here, for the record, Jared Garcia is recusing himself in this case. It appears that Sandra Earle and attorney are here.
Question of posting. Is there a reason why we didn't go with an aggravated DUI of 0.22?
We just made that an aggravating factor. Yes. Okay. Sure.
Counsel J.C. Jensen, on behalf of Cassandra Earle, she'd like to address you in a minute. Based upon the facts that she's going to provide to you, we are going to ask that you deviate downward to the baseline of a one-year recommendation. Although there are multiple offenses, it should be known these were all within the same course of conduct. This wasn't over a lot of different days, a lot of different times. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cassandra Earle. I'm sorry for being here in front of you. I'm not only embarrassed, I'm very disappointed in myself for being here. Not too long before I got the DUI, I received one of the highest awards in Utah for the life-saving medal, and it upsets me to be here in front of you. I want you guys to know that my intent that night was not to get in my vehicle and drive intoxicated. Halfway home, I realized that I was no longer able to operate a vehicle safely, and I had actually pulled over off the side of the freeway when the officer pulled up behind me. I was not pulled over. He did not turn his lights on and pull me over. I was off the side of the freeway trying to get a ride, trying to call someone to come pick me up. I had two options at that point after making my mistake of drinking and getting in the vehicle. My two choices were to continue driving home or to pull over and try to get a ride at that point. And so I tried to make the best decision that I could after making that mistake. As far as not being able to do some of the field sobriety tests, I broke my leg really bad a few years ago, and I've had three surgeries on that leg. I have 4 plates and 28 screws. So I don't know that even not being intoxicated that I could walk straight and do those tests. But after learning how high my BAC was, I was not only shocked, but I couldn't understand how after having two drinks that night with friends that it could be that high. So not only did I do a lot of research, I went to doctors, I put myself in therapy to figure out how my BAC could be that high. And due to my negligence, because of a surgery that I had and losing over 190 pounds, I found out after the DUI that one drink for me could cause me to blow over the legal limit. And for every drink that I consumed, it was like 3.5 for a person that hadn't had that medical surgery. So that night, instead of the two drinks that I thought that I had had and was able to operate a vehicle to drive from West Valley to my home in Provo, it was actually that I had seven drinks. And that is one of the reasons why my BAC was so high. I didn't go to the bar that night and drink a lot of alcohol. I had two drinks that night. After this incident, I called my department and I reported myself, and I asked my attorney to inform Post what had happened. Without being court ordered, I had the interlock put in my vehicle. Again, I sought therapy. I quit drinking. I have tried to be very proactive and been an advocate for people that have had this medical surgery of weight loss to know that they don't just need to teach you about your eating habits and what to eat. They also need to teach you about the effects of alcohol, because that is also really important. I loved being an officer, and I have always been very proud to wear that uniform. I love the department that I work for, and I want to continue my law enforcement career. You think that losing my certification would be the worst thing about this, but it was a disappointment on my boy's face, having to go through this with me and me doing something that I taught them to never do. It was a disappointment on my colleague's face, my coworkers, and my friend's face, because they knew that this is not the person that I am and that I truly just made a mistake. But I have had nothing but integrity. I've been accountable, and I've been honest. I've done everything that has been asked of me through this whole process, and I will continue doing that. And I can assure you that I will never be up here in front of you guys again. I accept 2 years for the Post recommendation. There's consequences to the choices that I made. I'm asking for compassion and leniency from you guys today so that I can continue my law enforcement career. But I respect your decision, and I want to let you guys know that I'm thankful for this opportunity to be in front of you. If you have any questions, I'd be willing to answer them.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
On the statement, it indicates that she's still employed in a non-sworn position as of July. When did you stop using your police powers? When did you resign from?
I didn't resign the day after that I got the DUI. They put me on admin leave. And
I haven't exercised anything.
I went through all the court proceedings and everything, and then I went to, you know, the chain of command and the EC, which they allowed me to transfer to a non-certified post, and I now work for adult probation and parole in Region 3.
February
12th?
Yeah.
I've not done any officer duty since February 12th.
Are there any other questions?
Sorry, one last thing about the open container. While I was driving home, I obviously was feeling tired and knew something was wrong. Before I pulled over, I reached in my back seat to try to find one of the energy drinks that I keep back there, and instead it was an alcoholic beverage. When I had opened it, I had taken one sip and set it in my console. I didn't want to break the law and throw it out the window, but it was just a recurring effect of bad decisions. And so that is the reason for the open container. Those were dismissed in court, along with the reckless driving, because I wasn't pulled over by the officer. I was already on the side of the road when he pulled up behind me.
Any additional questions? I would entertain a motion in this case.
Motion to accept Post recommendation.
We accept for General Crowley. We accept Post recommendation. Do we have a second?
Second, for the date to begin as February 12th, 2024.
Yeah.
Ms. Stevens is the second. So the motion is for accepting post recommendation of a 2-year suspension. That suspension would begin February 12th of 2024. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Thank you.
The next disciplinary case is Chase Harris. The agency is UDC. Years of service are less than a year. The offense is DUI, a Class B misdemeanor. There are no mitigating circumstances. There is a high BAC as the aggravator. The category is D. The baseline is 1 year. The guideline is 3 months to 3.5 years. POST is recommending 1.5 years. Mr. Harris was terminated. His date of separation was January 11th, 2024, and this was a waiver. On or about November 27th of 2023, law enforcement stopped a vehicle driven by Chase Harris. Harris showed signs of impairment during the field sobriety tests. Harris submitted to a blood test with the results showing that Harris had a BAC of 0.20. On February 28th, 2024, Harris pleaded guilty to driving under the influence of alcohol, a Class B misdemeanor. Are there any questions?
Mr. Harris or his counsel present? Not seeing them. Any questions from the counsel? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
For the record,
Jared Garcia is recusing himself in this case.
I have a question about the post recommendation for the previous case is 2 years versus this case is a year and a half, especially with this officer being pulled over and just wanting to understand the rationale between the difference and the upward deviation.
It's the multiple offenses is and the high BAC.
Okay.
There were three charges and this is just one.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept post recommendation.
Before more motions to accept post recommendation, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Sheriff Curtis, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next case is Tyler Hogan. The agency is not applicable. Years of service is 0.5 years. The offense is falsification of information to obtain certification. There are no mitigating or aggravating circumstances. This is a Category D offense. The baseline is 1 year. The range is 3 months to 2.5 years. POST is recommending 1 year. There are no agency actions or date of separation, and this was a waiver. Tyler Hogan submitted an application to reactivate his special functions officer and basic corrections officer certifications. In the current application, Hogan indicated he had used marijuana 30 times as a juvenile. He had previously submitted several applications to receive basic law enforcement training. In a previous application that POST approved, Hogan wrote that he had never used marijuana. POST approved that previous application and Hogan received a certification. During the POST investigation, Hogan participated in a Garrity interview. During that interview, Hogan said he did not know why he would have written he never used marijuana because he had used marijuana. Hogan said he filled out the application and that no one helped him, but he said he did not remember writing that he never used marijuana. Are there any questions?
Is Tyler Hogan or counsel present? Any discussion from the counsel on this matter? Not willing to look for a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept post-counsel recommendation.
John Crowley motions to accept post-recommendation. Do we have a second?
Awesome.
Jared Garcia, second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
The next disciplinary case is Owen Leapson. The agency is Spanish Fork PD. Years of service are 6.5 years. The offense is child abuse. There are no mitigating or aggravating circumstances. The category is F. The baseline is 3 months The range is a letter of caution to 1 year. Post is recommending 3 months. The agency action is paid administrative leave. There was no date of separation, and this is a waiver. Owen Leifson was investigated by a local police agency for child abuse. The investigation discovered that Leifson's 15-year-old daughter caught him having an extramarital affair. His daughter was upset and yelling at Leifson. Leifson put his daughter in a wrist lock, grabbed her by the back of the neck, and escorted her downstairs to the couch. Leifson turned his daughter around and pushed her into the couch. As Leifson turned his daughter around, her thigh hit the arm of the couch, causing a bruise. Leifson was cited for child abuse. On July 29th of 2024, Leifson entered a plea of no contest to an amended charge of disorderly conduct, a Class C misdemeanor. During Garrity interviews with Post and his agency, Leifson admitted he put his daughter in a twist lock hold like he would a prisoner and abruptly escorted her downstairs. Leifson said he grabbed his daughter by her shoulders and turned her around to set her down on the couch. Leifson did not believe he caused a bruise on his daughter's leg, but offered no other explanation as to how she developed the bruise. Are there any questions?
Mr. Leifson or counsel present?
Yes, thank you. My name is Leah Aston. I represent Mr. Leifson, and he will be making some comments in a moment. The purpose of my comments is just to provide an update regarding Mr. Leifson's criminal matter and the steps that he has taken proactively to correct the wrongs that occurred in this case. Mr. Leifson did enter a plea to a Class C misdemeanor for disorderly conduct, non-domestic violence. Since that time, with the consent of his daughter and also his daughter's mother, that charge has since been entered as an infraction, and that is where the case remains today. Part of the reason that Mr. Leifson was able to have that outcome in the case was because he was incredibly proactive, seeking treatment, completing several anger management classes, and adhering to all of the court orders in very short order. I know that he is eager to give a statement to you all. He accepts the post recommendation. He is simply asking that the council consider entering the recommendation to be effective on the date in which he was placed on administrative leave. Mr. Leifson was placed on administrative leave on January 4th. He's had no police duties since that time. He has been working in an animal control capacity. And so as you consider the recommendation, we're simply asking to enter the sanction to be effective in January. Thank you.
My name is Owen Leifson, and I just want to deeply apologize for my behavior as a police officer and as a father. My actions were out of line, and I take complete ownership for that. I have had an incredible last several months where I've been able to rekindle those relationships with my daughters, and where one actually come home 3 weeks ago and said she wants to live with me, and it's been a blessing to be able to get back together with her and have her in my home again. I want to thank the detective for his professionalism and for his patience with the investigation and how he conducted himself, and I'm indeed grateful for what you individuals here represent to keep the integrity for us as officers as high. And I apologize again for my behavior and for not living up to the expectations that I know is correct. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Leifson or counsel? They'll be looking for a motion.
A motion to accept the post recommendation.
Ron Anson, motion to accept post recommendation. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Chief Swanson is a second. Any discussion on the motion? So the motion is for a 3 month suspension, and Ron, would that be starting January 4th of 2024?
Yes.
So January technically 4th. It would be
the date he was no longer
time officer. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
The next case is Landon Lowry. The agency is UDC. They're 1 year of service. The offense is failure to stop, which is a felony three. There's also reckless driving, which is a Class B misdemeanor. The mitigating circumstances, there are none. Aggravating circumstances, there are two offenses here. That's a typo. So multiple offenses. The category is A&E. The guideline baseline is revocation. The guideline range is 3 years to revocation. Post is recommending revocation. Agency action is termination. The date of separation is July 13th of 2024, and this was a default. On May 18th of 2024, an officer attempted to stop a motorcycle traveling at a high rate of speed. When the officer activated his lights, the motorcycle sped away, reaching speeds approximately 130 miles per hour and evading the officer. Through investigative efforts, the officers identified the rider as Landon Lowry. When interviewed by investigating officers, Lowry admitted he was the person riding the motorcycle. Lowry was charged with failure to respond to the officer's signal to stop and reckless driving. Fleeing is a third-degree felony. Lowry pleaded guilty to attempted fleeing, a Class A misdemeanor, and reckless driving, a Class B misdemeanor. During a Garrity interview with Post, Lowry admitted he fled from the officer when he noticed the officer trying to pull him over. Lowry said his top speed was about 140 miles per hour. Are there any questions?
For the record, Jared Garcia will recuse himself in this case. Mr. Lowry, did you wish to address this body? Yes, please. Please state your name.
My name is Landon Lowry. I'm here to deeply apologize for everything that happened. I do regret everything that I did. Most of it because of just the trouble that it's caused, but a really big part of it was because of the fact that it cost me my job as a corrections officer, and something that I did love doing. It was the best job that I ever had, and knowing that my certification can be revoked completely, it scares me because I want to still be able to do that. Be in law enforcement. It's just something that my family's done for years, and it was all just a stupid mistake on my part. I didn't think. I just panicked, and I do respect your decision to the decision of whatever happens. But I do ask that if there's anything that I can do or that we can do to make it to where I can at least some point get back into law enforcement and get back into corrections, that would mean so much to me.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Lowry? Hey, are we looking for a motion?
Motion accept based on felony.
So John Crowley, motion to accept post recommendation for revocation. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mark Lessiger has a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
The next discipline case is Grant Aaron Marshall. There's no applicable agency. Years of service are 13 years in Missouri. The offense is willful falsification to obtain a certification. There are no aggravating or mitigating circumstances. This is a Category D. The baseline is 1 year. The guideline range is 3 months to 2.5 years. Post is recommending 1 year. There's no agency action or separation date, and this case is a waiver. Grant Marshall is a certified peace officer in another state. He relocated to Utah and successfully completed the post-waiver process to obtain a Utah LEO certification. A Utah law enforcement agency conducting a hiring background investigation discovered that Marshall had failed to disclose a previous employment with an out-of-state law enforcement agency. Marshall's employment at that agency had been terminated. Once this information was discovered, Marshall contacted Post via email to update his Post application. Post conducted an investigation regarding Marshall's failure to disclose all of his law enforcement employment history. Upon reviewing Marshall's application, Post discovered two additional areas of false information on Marshall's application. During a Post-Garrity interview, Marshall admitted that he intentionally left off the agency information where he was terminated. Marshall also admitted that he willfully provided two false answers on his application. Are there any questions?
Mr. Marshall or counsel for Mr. Marshall here? We're looking for a motion on this case.
I'll make the motion to accept Post recommendation of a 1-year suspension.
Thank you, Sheriff Curtis.
And second.
Second by David Peterson. And just for clarity, he is not employed now. So would that suspension start today?
What time did that go away?
I wonder also if we, I mean, I would be inclined to increase the Post recommendation, given that there was multiple counts of dishonesty within them, and also the intentionality. I mean, this was not a Post, Utah Post certified officer, but this was a previously certified officer in another jurisdiction that should have known better than that. This wasn't a college student that had no experience in law enforcement. And to answer, you know, that have you ever had disciplinary actions or been fired? I mean, that's a very clear yes or no answer that was absolutely lied about by someone that should have known better. So, I mean, I would recommend that we do a 2-year suspension.
Would you like to make a substitute motion for 2-year suspension?
I'll
second it. Motion made by Melina Stevens, seconded by Chief Swanson. And again, the motion, substitute motion, is for a 2-year suspension. And again, would that begin as of 10/20/24, date of the waiver? Mm-hmm. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next case is Stephen Kyle Pace. The agency is Payson PD. Years of service is 2 years. The offenses are criminal mischief, DV, Class B misdemeanor, domestic violence in the presence of children, 3 offenses, each a Class B misdemeanor. There are no mitigating circumstances. The aggravating circumstance is multiple offenses. This is a Category C. The guideline baseline is 2 years. The range is 9 months to 3.5 years. Post is recommending 2.5 years. Mr. Pace resigned. The date of separation is July 6th of 2023, and this is a waiver case. Stephen Pace was investigated for domestic violence offenses. The investigation demonstrated that Pace used his foot to force the master bedroom door open, which caused a large hole in the door. Damage was done to the drywall behind the door when the doorknob forcefully hit it. Pace threw a backpack against a wall, which also caused damage to the drywall. Pace's 3 children were at the home during the incident and were upset by the situation. Charges were filed. As part of a plea in abeyance, Pace pleaded no contest to 3 charges of domestic violence in the presence of a child. The charges were later dismissed when Pace completed the terms of the plea in abeyance. During a Garrity interview with Post, Pace confirmed he created the hole in the door with his foot. He also confirmed he threw a backpack against a wall, which damaged the drywall. Pace stated he lost it and was fuming mad during the incident. Are there any questions?
Mr. Pace, would you like to address this body?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Stephen Kyle Pace. I'm here today with my loving, supporting wife. I'd like to say that I'm embarrassed and ashamed that I'm standing here before you. I want you to know that I take full responsibility for my actions that took place on June 27th, 2023. I cannot apologize enough for the things that brought me here today. I'd like you to know that those actions are not a reflection of my character whatsoever. I would never do anything to hurt my family intentionally. What you don't know is what led up to that night, and I'd like to share a little bit of that with you if you'd bear with me. This may be the wrong room to say this to, but I started my career in public service as a volunteer firefighter 10 years ago for Santaquin City. I worked my way through the ranks. I was actively serving as a part-time captain. In 2021, I had the opportunity to do something that I always dreamed of, which was becoming an officer. I sponsored myself through the academy with the help of my wife and children. I was working a full-time job as a diesel mechanic during the day, and I attended the academy at night, rarely being able to see my wife and kids for 6 months. During attending the academy, my wife's father tragically passed away from a very severe work accident. Because of my strenuous schedule, I wasn't able to be there and support her in the way that I needed to or should have. I wasn't even able to attend the funeral. I was hired with Payson Police and graduated in August. During my first few weeks of FTO, my wife's grandfather also passed away from the same type of tragic work accident. While we were struggling through all this, my 8-year-old middle child was having problems at school. We were constantly being called into the principal's office with teachers. She was having behavioral issues. This went on for nearly a year before we were able to finally get her diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. We were able to finally get her into the proper classroom setting that she needed to be in. Fast forward a year into my career, July 24th, 2022, I was dispatched to the report of a fall. It was reported that a Payson firefighter had fallen into a dumpster. He was unconscious. I arrived to find that that firefighter was a good friend of mine who I had grown up with for 25 years. He was laying in the bottom of the dumpster. He was not responsive. His wife and oldest son, which is the same age as my daughter, were screaming at me to not let their husband and father die. Despite life-saving efforts that night, he passed away. Fellow officers and dispatchers were brought together later in a critical incident debrief, but that's where the professional assistance ended. I received the usual, "Let me know if you need anything," from pretty much everybody imaginable. But I honestly didn't know that I needed anything. I didn't know that I needed more help than I did. Nearing the 1-year anniversary of this firefighter's passing, thoughts and feelings overwhelmed me. I started to drown myself in work. The only thing that was making my feelings better was working more and helping people. We were constantly fighting and arguing. On June 27th, my kettle boiled over. I let my emotions win in the unhealthiest of ways. Fear, anger, hurt, depression, anxiety, just to name a few, consumed me, and I made the biggest mistake of my life. I was struggling with PTSD, and I didn't even know it. Both I and my wife had not properly dealt with some issues that we definitely needed to. Although my wife was the one who called the police that night, she did not do it out of fear, but rather a desperate cry to get me some help. I resigned from Payson Police and Santaquin Fire on July 6, 2023, to mend my family and fix broken pieces. I immediately sought professional counseling along with my wife. I've learned so much about myself and coping and communication with my wife. I've learned and understand now what PTSD looks and feels like and how it can affect us in so many different ways. In October of 2023, the charge of property damage was dropped. I entered into a plea in abeyance to 3 counts of domestic violence in the presence of a child. I was ordered 1-year probation, 8 hours of anger management, 6 hours advanced parenting course, 4 months of individual counseling. I completed these tasks in March of 24. Me and my wife still attend counseling to this day, just every couple months just to check in. In May of this year, I asked the courts for an early dismissal, which was granted. I'm currently 90% through the expungement process and waiting on the judge's signature. I worked for Payson Police for 2 years, where I was on track to becoming an FTO. I received multiple awards and letters of accommodation, including a certificate of special congressional recognition from the United States Congress. I received this award for pulling two people from their burning home on my way home from a graveyard shift. I was traveling home after checking off duty and noticed a house that appeared to have steam coming from the roof. Something didn't seem right. I circled the block, discovered that it was not steam, it was smoke. I radioed it in. I was able to wake the residents, remove them from the home, and contain the fire to the garage before it entirely wiped out the home. I was just doing what I thought anybody else would do on my way home to go to bed. I made a mistake, and I truly apologize for that. Posters recommended that I be suspended for 2.5 years. I'm asking if you'd kindly reconsider the suspension time. In the past, on multiple cases nearly identical to mine, the council has diverted from their recommendation of post and suspended officers anywhere from 1 to 2 years. I'd love to be able to make my family proud of me again by wearing the uniform. I love serving my community. I love being the person that people call on their worst day and helping those in need. To me, law enforcement is not a job. It is not going to work. It is not the daily grind. It is my passion. I have unfortunately learned my lesson the hard way, and I can promise you that something like this will never happen again. No one is as hard on me as I am myself. I live in guilt and shame every single day. You will never see me on this side of the podium ever again. I apologize for my actions. Thank you for your time, and I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Pace. Have you acted as a peace officer since your separation from Payson PD?
No, sir.
And are you currently on probation, or has that been terminated?
That's been terminated.
Any other questions for Mr. Pace?
You kicked the door in? Is that right?
I did.
Why?
Well, honestly, I was trying to get my keys. I was trying to leave the house. We were arguing, and I had already gone through the door once. I turned around, and it had locked behind me as I went back to go get the keys, which were in the bedroom, and I put my foot through the door to open it. Not intentionally. I wasn't trying to put my foot through the door.
Any other questions? You'd be looking for a motion on this case? Sheriff Fulmer?
You know, Ed, domestics are always challenging. They're always highly emotional. You know, but in a case like this, I do appreciate the fact that his reason for going through that door was not to harm anyone. You know, there was no actual assault involved in these cases. You know, they're really about domestic vandalism, you know. Yeah, in a fit of rage, he busted up the home some. And with that and his willingness to own it, I'm willing to make a motion to make a recommendation of 1.5 year suspension from his date of performing law enforcement duties.
Second. Motion by Sheriff Wimmer, second by Chief Swanson for a 1.5 year suspension. And would that start on date of separation, July 6th of 2023? Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
The next discipline case is Skylar Smith. The agency is not applicable. The years of service are 0.5. The offense is willful falsification to obtain certification. There are no mitigating or aggravating circumstances. This is a Category D. This is 1 year baseline. The range is 3 months to 2.5 years. Post is recommending 1 year. There's no agency action or date of separation. The adjudication type is a waiver. The facts of this case are that Post initiated an investigation into Skylar Smith for allegations he falsified his Post application. The investigation demonstrated that on June 28th of 2023, Skylar Smith filled out a Post application to attend basic training and did not disclose any underage alcohol use. On August 7th, 2023, Smith filled out a verification of application form after attending an ethics class taught by Post staff. Smith marked no that he did not need to add any information to his Post application. Smith was accepted into the academy and received his SFO certification on September 22nd, 2023, his BCO certification on October 16th, 2023, and his LEO certification on December 8th, 2023. On November 16th of 2023, Smith filled out a pre-employment application with a local sheriff's office. He did not disclose any underage alcohol use on the application. During the SO polygraph examination, Smith admitted he consumed alcohol every couple of months from the ages of 12 to 13 years to just before his 21st birthday. The SO did not hire Smith. During a Garrity interview with Post, Smith said he likely did not disclose the underage alcohol consumption because he is ashamed of it. Smith admitted he lied to the SO polygrapher multiple times about his alcohol consumption. Are there any questions?
Mr. Smith, would you like to address this point?
No.
Okay, thank you. Just for the record, you are Skyler Smith?
Yes.
Appearing here today. Thank you. Are there any questions or discussions on the matter? Okay, we'd look for a motion. Ron Anson, motion to accept post recommendation of a 1-year suspension, which I think would commence today.
Commence today.
Second.
And Melina Stevens is a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next disciplinary case is Karen Villagrana. The agency is Springville PD, years of service, 9 years. The offense is willful falsification to obtain certification. There are no aggravating or mitigating circumstances. It's a Category D. The guideline baseline is 1 year. The range is 3 months to 2.5 years. Post is recommending 3 months. There's no agency action, no date of separation, and this is a waiver. Karen Villagrana submitted an application to obtain a law enforcement officer certification. In the current application, Villagrana disclosed the use of marijuana in 2010. Villagrana previously submitted a post application and obtained a dispatcher certification. Villagrana did not disclose the use of marijuana in the previous application. Villagrana participated in a Garrity interview with Post. During the interview, Villagrana stated she was ashamed and had been a dispatcher for more than a year. Villagrana was scared that if she disclosed the use of marijuana, she would lose her job. And also, you should note there is a letter of support in your materials for her.
Ms. Villagrana, did you want to address the council?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. My name is Karen Villagrana. I would like to thank the council for being here today, for taking the time of your day to be here today and for allowing me to speak on my behalf. Apologize. I would like to say that I understand and acknowledge the discrepancies between my applications. I want to apologize for having to even be here. I feel ashamed for even being here. And I would like to acknowledge my mistake, and I would like to also state that I am willing to or will take any suspension or any decision that you give me today. I will take it willfully. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? So I think there is a letter if in the record, if you'd like to take a few minutes to read through that letter. Ms. Gravens, just for clarification, the action we're taking today is on dispatcher certification. Is that correct? Even though she is enrolled in the police academy, it's yes. dispatcher certification that yes. we're potentially sanctioning. Thank you.
State law does not require a dispatcher to be certified. That's an agency decision.
Any discussion on the matter or questions? Okay, looking for a motion?
I'll make a motion to issue a letter of caution based on the time frame that's passed and the support of her chief to want to continue to employ her.
Second.
So tell me again what the motion is.
It's the motion is that we issue a letter of caution based on the time frame that's passed from 2016 since her last use and her agency chief wanting to continue to employ her.
Thank you. So the motion is for a letter of caution. Chief Swanson is a second. We will be going outside the guideline range, but with the justification stated by Chief William. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
Okay, the next case is Brody Waldrum. The agency is UPD. Years of service is 20 years. The offense is unable to possess a firearm under state or federal law. There are no mitigating or aggravating circumstances. This is a Category D. The baseline is 1 year. The range is 3 months to 2.5 years. Post is recommending 1 year. Mr. Waldrum retired. The date of separation is January 10th of 2024. This was a waiver. Brody Waldrum was investigated by his agency for possession or use of a controlled substance. The investigation discovered that on September 21st of 2023, Waldrum participated in a drug test and the test showed a positive result for marijuana. During an interview with his agency, Waldrum admitted to having a valid medical marijuana card and using marijuana. Based on Waldrum's use of marijuana, he was federally restricted from possessing a firearm. Waldrum was not given a Garrity interview by his department. Waldrum retired from UPD on January 10th of 2024, and no criminal charges were filed. During a Garrity interview with Post, Waldrum stated he had obtained a medical marijuana card. Waldrum stated that he had been using marijuana or THC gummies when he was drug tested by his agency. Waldrum said he last used marijuana in January of 2024 and his medical marijuana card expired on February 6th of 2024. Are there any questions?
Is Mr. Waldrum or counsel for Mr. Waldrum here? Any discussion from the counsel on this matter?
We accept post recommendation of 1 year suspension to begin on 1/10/24.
Motion from Elena Stevens to accept. Second from Sheriff Curtis. Or comments?
Yes, sir.
Change
the date. His card expired February 6th.
Oh, thank you.
I would be the second.
I accept that change.
Okay.
February 6th, 2020.
That way we're consistent with the reaction.
Thank you.
Very
good. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I believe the next matter we have is a request for reconsideration, and Mr. Yaki, I think, is going to cover that.
So, as it is a request for reconsideration, generally when I'm in court, we request the court, we motion the court, as this is the body, I'm requesting you guys to have somebody put forward a motion to reconsider this matter, and we do need a vote to reconsider it because it has already been dealt with.
So do you want to speak to it before we make that motion?
Very limited, just due to issues that were raised during an appeal, during the appellate process. We're seeking to we're requesting that the post counsel reconsider this matter.
So I have a motion from Melina Stevens to approve a reconsideration. Do we have a second?
Second
from Eileen Lou.
All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
So with that, I will just quickly refresh the council's memory in regards to this matter. This is certification of David
Bentley, formerly with the Washington County Sheriff's Office. The substantiated offense was Garrity violation, which falls under Category A of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is revocation. The guideline range is 3 years. And with the due to the issues that were raised during the appeal, post has changing its recommendation to 4 years. The resignation, date of separation, and hearing all stay the same. If you recall, David Bentley, post-certified peace officer with the Washington County Sheriff's Office, was involved in an administrative investigation. During the investigation, Bentley was found to have made false statements during a Garrity interview. Bentley's employment with the Washington County Sheriff's Office was subsequently terminated, and a case was referred to post. On February 29, 2024, a hearing was held before an administrative law judge. The ALJ subsequently issued the findings of facts and conclusion of law stating that Bentley violated 53.6.211.1D as outlined in the notice of agency action. Again, this is, as post, we are requesting that you, that the recommendation be changed to 4 years, and that is, I can't speak to it a ton. It's just due to issues that were raised during the appeal.
So just for clarification, the motion would be to set aside the previously issued revocation and then whatever the new sanction may be.
That would be it, yes. Thank you, Council. Chair.
Council.
Thank you, Council. J.C. Jensen on behalf of Mr. Bentley, who's present with me. Yeah, this matter was addressed. I believe Nate Nelson was the one who addressed it at the post-council. A lot of objections were raised. I think the most important and the thing that sets us apart from a lot of other Garrity violations is that subsequent to the ALJ's decision, my client submitted to a background test for another agency. During that background test, he submitted to a polygraph test. And in that polygraph test, he passed. He passed the very issues that give rise to the reason we are here today. I've yet to see something similar in a situation like this where a subsequent polygraph test was passed as to the allegations. So if you need a reason to accept the 4 years rather than stick with the revocation, that is what we ask you to consider. Thank you.
Any questions from the council? No questions. Were you looking for a motion? Chief Swanson, a question?
I could be wrong. I'm getting a little bit. Did we know that the last time that he had passed that? It seems like we did.
That was addressed.
Okay. So how has it changed?
Again, I can't, due to various comments, this was brought up during mediation, so we can't get into various topics.
Looking for additional questions, discussion, or motion?
Procedural question. So in these cases where we're not able to get a lot of information that would help to color our decision, is it really kind of, well, this body needs to accept it based on the legal premise, or what latitude do we have to make a decision of 4 years or to maintain revocation? We just don't have a lot of information that can really help us to make a different decision.
So I think the agreement was to ask you to reconsider it, and should be recommending 4 years.
And that's the agreement that was agreed upon by the parties.
But it still remains to the council to determine whether or not it should be the sanction should be changed. I will say, just for clarification, a 4 year suspension would require that the officer go back through the academy before they become certified again. So they need to meet all the requirements for certification, reattend the academy before they could be certified again. I believe that's correct.
So what would be the beginning start date of the 4 year suspension? Is it on date of separation?
So we typically go at date of separation, which is 3/30/2023.
And then maybe just a question for Mr. Bentley or his counsel. Have you acted as a peace officer since your separation from Washington County?
Before the post investigation, I was applying with other agencies.
I tested and applied with multiple other agencies, and any of my previous history wasn't a deterrent, and they were interested in having me until the post-investigation, and then the job was contingent upon the findings here.
Thank you.
So the appeal hearing was regarding his certification, I guess. What was discussed in appeal?
So unfortunately, I can't. It makes it. So it makes it. It makes. I'm just going to be talking about procedure. So this matter. So the post counsel heard this matter, I believe, two councils ago in June. Mr. Bentley then appealed the matter to the Court of Appeals, which is the next. So that's where he can appeal this matter. Concerning his certification and concerning this matter, we have attorney generals with the Utah Attorney General's Office that represent the appellate side. And after negotiation, after mediation, there was a memorandum signed by both parties in which it was agreed upon that Post would request the Post Council to reconsider the matter and recommend the certification be suspended for 4 years. So it is very limited on the information. Unfortunately, when it comes to mediation, attorneys are prohibited from going into further discussion as far as what occurred during mediation, which makes it difficult. I understand. I'm not trying to make it more difficult for you guys. I'm just.
But you are saying that Post recommends 4 years.
Yes. Okay. Post is recommending 4 years.
I'll make a motion if anyone else questions. I got a flight to catch, but if Post is recommending 4 years, then I put my faith in.
So I have a motion from Chief Swanson for a 4 year to accept Post's recommendation to set aside previous sanction of revocation and adopt the 4 year suspension. Second from Ron Anderson. Any discussion on the motion?
Can we ask the comfort level of Post? This is that you feel with the new information, whatever additional information or conversations that you've had that you feel comfortable you can't answer that. All right, that's why I asked if I could ask it.
Okay. Hey, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No. We have three opposed, Sheriff Curtis, four opposed, David Peterson, Chief William, and Miley Liu. I believe that still gives us a majority vote and the motion passes.
Thank you.
Can I make one quick comment?
Yes.
I just want to thank the Post investigators. I mean, I know you guys, sometimes we change what they recommend. In no part is that a slight against you guys and your work product. You guys do an excellent job. Just know that sometimes we consider all kinds of other things. So just know we appreciate the work you guys do and the product you do. When we change things, don't think it's a slight against you guys. You guys do great work.
Yeah, I would echo that. Thank you, Sheriff Curtis, for bringing that up. Thanks to our investigators and to Ms. Gravens, Mr. Yockey, for their great work. So we're going to turn some time over to Director Reese for post-application fees discussion.
Hopefully we'll wrap up things with a couple of quick, easy items. On that, regarding the application fees, I'm looking for some input on some action we're planning on taking. Post's authorized fee schedule is to charge applicants $35 per application. We've been charging, we have not been charging that fee for cadets coming that are hired by your agencies and coming to Post. But due to very, very tight budget restrictions that we are under at Post that most of you are aware of, so tightly that we're going to be holding some positions open and such, and some new fees that we are now being charged by other government agencies regarding fingerprints and such, we are planning on to start charging applicants that $35 fee. Our view is that alone per applicant, it's not a big deal. Your agencies could cover that if you choose, but if we absorb it, it's anywhere from a $20,000 to $30,000 a year hit. I just don't think that would be wise of me to continue doing that. So
and more, and
If the investigators keep at the pace they are, you can plan on lunch at all the council meetings. But I wanted your feedback if there was anything we were missing. I did speak with the Sheriff's Association and the Chiefs Association and brief them on that. I wanted your feedback.
So it probably doesn't impact smaller agencies as much when it comes to their budget, but for an agency like mine, where I have 400 vacancies at $35 a pop, plus the ones that we don't even hire, that's a pretty huge impact to our budget. So I just would like to get that out on the table.
About UDC.
We didn't discuss UDC specifically, but one of the things that we wanted to stress to everybody here is this is an agency-specific choice whether or not they pass it on to the cadet, the applicant, if the agency absorbs that cost. So the way we understand it is UDC would not have to cover that. You could.
Sure, but I would argue that a lot of agencies do cover that, and so now it's putting us at a disadvantage because people are going to say, well, that agency doesn't make me pay for it. This is a competitive business we're all in. We're all competing for some of the same candidates, and I just have to advocate for my agency and even other big agencies. While it's not a big hit for the smaller agencies, it's a huge hit to us if we don't cover that, or if we choose to cover that, actually.
So of course, the state pays so well, other people can afford it. So just pass it on.
We're going to have to pay more now.
I'm definitely concerned about some of those things, but at the same time, I don't think a $35 fee is going to pressure someone to apply one place or another.
Why would you not put it on the applicants, if I can ask that question?
That's right. I think it should be on the applicants. Most professional fees, when you go to get your real estate fee, you pay for that. When you go to get your...
I
don't think there's a problem.
I'm in favor of passing it along to the applicants. I'm in favor of Post not paying it anymore. But to answer your question, it's such a competitive market right now that any applicant will look for every advantage. I mean, it comes down to a take-home car. It comes down to $1 an hour. So if it's a $35 application fee that I may be able to pay, not be able to pay now versus somebody that's going to pay it.
Could there not be, I don't know this, but I'm asking, could there not be a decision made statewide amongst all of the departments to have the applicants pay for their employment?
No.
Oh, my word.
It's possible. I would say one thing I kind of do like about it is I think when we take care of everything.
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe we are. And look, I mean, we'll support. I'm not saying we wouldn't support it. It's just it is, I mean, for us, and the number of people we have to hire, it's probably a $30,000 hit to our budget, you know, and that's not paying.
Yeah, I was just curious if since UDC is running their own academy, if they're already processing those.
I wasn't sure. Yeah.
Post has to. We have to process every application that comes in, whether or not the agency takes a look at it first. And for full disclosure, part of the reason this even came up, and Lieutenant Buck can speak this probably even better than I can, because he's been in touch with BCI, is BCI found out that they had not been charging us for something they probably should have been charging us. So this is something that we.
So yes.
You know, one of the things I think that's one of the kind of intangibles I think about charging their fees, I think a lot of times the officers don't realize that their certification is their license, and it's kind of like they're not their department's license, it's their license and they should own it. And I think that kind of drives that point home that this is your license to carry with you between whatever organization you work for. And I think they miss that when we hold their hand and take care of everything.
So just for clarification, this is the same fee that teachers pay, that every license pays. It's the $35.
That's a very good point.
It's called a wrap back fee that we have to enter into the fingerprint so that it goes into the BCI system so that a background check is done every night.
Yep. So many years.
There are many agencies that have training agreements with their employees where they work for the agency for a number of years or the employee reimburses the cost of the training. I think for our agency that this would just be added to that training agreement. So
one other thought I have, especially for the bigger agencies, is there a process that maybe they could do internally to help their fees that Post would accept that background, that upload?
Is there a way I could get them to do their own applications?
No.
I like the sound of that.
So that's an automated background check, right? It all goes into the same system.
That's the processing of fingerprints to go into the background. They were the constant background check. That's the fee that it costs for the computer to do it, and the FBI's
permit. So it's not a way to have UDC do their own.
State agency, BCI, the state agency. How's the state agency charging the state agency?
They do it.
Yeah, this is because the fee goes to the FBI. It's not the BCI. Actually.
This is really a pass-through cost. It's not something that Post is going to be making a bunch of money on.
No, it's not. No.
I thought you said these were going to be easy and quick. I thought so.
So it sounds like you just shift some money from BCI over to Post, and then we're just handled.
I just we've been authorized to charge this fee, and we haven't been. Yeah, and I don't see how. I think my recommendation is we need to start charging from the Post perspective. That has to be my recommendation, and I wanted to hear the dynamics and stuff, and I know it does cause some problems, but we are on rice and beans.
Do you want a vote of support?
No, I was just looking for feedback, and I got it. Okay. So, but yeah, it is the director's decision whether to charge that fee or not. But I wanted your input for sure. So, another issue on the agenda.
Go ahead.
Is last meeting, we need to vote for a new vice chair.
Looking for nominations.
I nominate Alan Swanson, Chief Swanson.
Second.
You're welcome.
I hear that bunch of coming.
Don't you have a point yet?
I do.
Make the motion nomination. Just close.
I'll second.
Is there any other nominations?
Run against him?
I'm not sure procedurally. Do we put it to a vote?
I think by acclamation. I guess we should vote on closing the nominations. I think that's the vote.
Yes.
I'll accept.
Okay.
I would vote to close the nominations.
Is speech mumming or anything?
No.
We don't want
that.
Unless he nominates someone else.
I think we just need to vote close nomination.
Okay. I think we just need to vote close nomination since there's no other one.
Oh, close. I thought you meant close meeting.
No.
Okay.
So we have a motion to close nominations. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? So by acclamation, Chief Swanson, congratulations. Post Council Vice Chair. One more item of business. We just need to look at a new date for a meeting in probably March, I believe. March, right? So how does March 6th, which is a Thursday, work for the group?
That's the day before the end of the session.
Okay, do you want to push it back a week or so?
Chief's conference that comes up on the 22nd. I'm sorry, the week of the 24th.
What about the 13th?
That might be our sheriff's meeting.
Yeah, about the 20th. Thursday, March 20th? 10 a.m. Going once, going twice? 10 a.m. on the 20th? And we have a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everybody.